So season one, I did it scared.
That's my favorite saying, do it scared. That's my favorite saying. Mm-hmm.
And even like when season one was airing and it's just like, how are people going to respond to the show? You don't know. And I remember reaching out to Issa and saying, how do people do this? Like, how can you put something out into the world and then just hear people talk about it? And like, how do you
start
not knowing if we were going to get a season two or not? I'm like, the anxiety. Like, how do you live like this?
Hey, y'all. I have the writer, the showrunner, the all-around talented Black gal that I love so much, Sarita Singleton, is on Naked.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion they carry champions to be a champion. A champion they carry champion, that girl you did it. Got a champion they carry champion, they carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us.
Sarita Singleton is on Naked. Thank you so much for joining me. I would like to say that when I think of growing up in Los Angeles and I think of people who live here and who actually are from here, there's an essence and a vibe. And for you to work with Issa and be a writer on Insecure, starting off as an assistant, from my understanding, to me that's huge. But it feels very, very LA-ish. It feels your demeanor, your je ne sais quoi, your swag, all feels very familiar and comfortable to me. And I think it's also what people liked about Insecure. It felt very comfortable. It felt honest. It felt real. It felt like I want to experience that. So congratulations, but you have stepped out on your own. And before we talk about Rap Shit, you're the showrunner. It's streaming on Max. Season 2 just dropped November 9th. You guys check it out if you haven't already. It is fun. It's inspiring. Loosely based off the City Girls, if you will. But everything about it is dope. And I would like to know, when you decided you were going to write, because it seems so nebulous. Like as a kid, I wouldn't know how to say, I'm going to write. And that's a profession.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for all of that. and I agree with you. Like when I'm in a room, it's, I'm like a little awkward. For the first time, the people who I gravitate to without me even realizing are usually from LA. They're usually the warmest in the room. So I love that. And I love that. Well,
yeah, you feel it. You're like, oh, this is my homegirl. Literally my homegirl.
When did I decide? You know, really early. I think 11 years old was when I had a name for it. So prior to that, and just all throughout my coming up, I loved reading. I loved, I loved reading and I was curious about people. And so there was a time where I thought, I was like, what is this? When you just like ask people things about their life and you like discover their stories and like their pitfalls, like, you know, and you like, maybe I'll be a psychologist. I remember thinking that when I was 9, like interviewing my big cousins and about their boyfriends and being like, have you tried this? Like, I don't.
You were solving problems.
Yeah. I just want to like problem solve and ask questions about their lives. And I love doing that. But then I also really loved reading. And then I think, so it was when I was 11, I'd had like my first little boyfriend in school. It's like a little 3-day relationship. And he was over me. He broke up with me and I was hurt. And so I wrote a short story about him in class, like during our like downtime, and I like volunteered to read it. It was a horror story. It was a slasher.
What happened? What was the story?
I'm trying to remember,
if you will.
Something like the power goes out in our school or in our classroom, and like a murderer comes in and like targeted the class, but specifically chose him and sacrificed him in front of everybody. And so,
are you kidding? Oh, you know you can't do that now. They send you to principal office for that. You can't do that now.
No.
Hilarious, but hilarious.
Everybody was so amused, but and. And the thing is I changed the character's name just a little bit. So I was like, it's not him. It's not. This is a work of fiction.
His name is like Tom. You're like, it's Jom.
Exactly. But so, the reaction, though, that I got from like my classmates, people were either like laughing or like just shocked, upset. Like, I was like, ooh, I love this. Like, I just love that feeling. Like, that might be crazy, but I was like, I enjoyed coming up with this story. It felt very, like, cathartic for me. And then also the response that I got from everybody in my 5th grade classroom, I was just like, this. I love this. Like, I want to bottle this. I want to do more of this. After that, I was like, I'm going to be a writer. And nobody knew what I was talking about. I barely knew what I was talking about. I think, like, what I was writing and how I saw my career was something that continued to like really present itself to me as I was you know, progressing in my journey. Like TV writing wasn't something that I considered at the time. I didn't even know that was a thing, you know, mm-hmm. or know about doing it. So it's really because of my relationship with Issa that I've been able to like see, oh, how you can do it and that's how you can do it your way.
You know, here's what's interesting. I know so many people who are, and I mentor a lot of young girls too, who want to do something, whether it's forward facing in front of the camera or behind the scenes, but they want to be involved in production in some type of way. And I'm always like, just be around, just be in the mix, because that energy that'll help create and cultivate for you. And it's also important, I think, to be willing to make many mistakes. So how did you form a relationship with Issa? Was it before or after she blew up on Insecure?
It was before. So I had briefly met her pre-Awkward Black Girl when she was direct. Yeah. She was
for direct. for the listeners, that was her YouTube series, right? That she had.
Okay.
It was really popular. If you don't know, it was very popular. So you met her pre-Awkward Black Girl?
Yes, briefly we had met. Uh-huh. She was directing something that I was a part of that ended up kind of like going away over time, but we met briefly there. And so then I was just kind of like, I saw her again when Awkward Black Girl was like popping.
Mm-hmm.
I know her. I remember her. I wonder if she remembers me. And then she was also hosting this workshop designed to kind of show people how to create their own stuff and like how to go about putting it up and like, you know, getting funding. And I had written my first thing and I was like, I don't know what to do with it. And so I went to the workshop. And after the workshop was over, I like stood in line to talk to her. And I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. Like, I'm a writer. I have this thing that I wrote. And she's like, send it to me. And she gave me her email address. I sent it to her. She read it very quickly, like over the weekend, and got back to me and told me she loved it. And so that was actually, which was just mind blowing and really affirming. Because again, it was the first thing written. Yeah.
The first thing you had written, you say?
It was the first thing I had written to completion, the first script that I had written to completion.
And it was that Jaded?
Yes, that's So Jaded. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And so we did So Jaded together. Issa actually went and got the funding. She started Color Creative, where she was able to like help, you know, people with diverse stories make their stuff. And she shot 3 pilots. One of them was mine. So Jaded. And so we did that, I think, in 2014. And by 2016 was when Insecure was picked up to series. Okay. And then she went on to that. So that was kind of like the beginning of our relationship. And and I guess my pathway to where I am now.
Yeah. Well, first of all, good for her for being curious and looking for talent. That's a lesson in itself. Like how many times do people say, let me read it and never get back to you? But for whatever reasons, she said, this is it. She felt it. So that is, it's good to know that, you know, you also as a talent can recognize talent, which is clear here. And then you get this opportunity to be in the writer's room. I want you, by definition, not even to describe the writer's room for Insecure, but by definition, for those who are listening and they don't know what a writer's room is, what is a writer's room on a series, on a television show that airs, you know, weekly or monthly for whatever reason? What is a writer's room?
Writer's room. So it's a collection of writers. And I've been on staffs between 6 people to like 12 people. Sometimes it can be more, but writers that all come together, we're usually in the space that's kind of like a conference room, sort of, you know, customized to whatever your vibe is. And there's a showrunner who is kind of like leading the discussions, that's leading the vision of the show, and who kind of starts these sort of conversations where you're able to kind of come up with stories together and bounce ideas off of each other and come up with jokes. Like, you know, you're doing all of that, the breaking of the story and the writing of the story, like kind of in this sort of collective environment. And then you'll have a writer who will go off and like, you know, actually pen the script. But it's like really, it's a collaborative process, TV writing is anyway. Yeah. And I think, you know, you go episode by episode, I can get super granular, but like, I think like that's the gist of it really is just a collection of people writing together.
Now, would you consider it an intimate space or an intimidating space? Like, what adjectives would you use to describe a writer's room? Ego-driven space, a friendly space?
It depends on what room you're in. It really does, like, because it depends on the people. Like, every room is different. And I've been in a few. And I'll say, like, Insecure was... It felt intimidating to me when I got there because I was an assistant and it's something I wanted so badly, you know? And I think I was realizing like how smart so many of these people are and how self-aware you also have to be to tell stories about people. What and like, mean? Like if you're telling a story about a relationship or a friendship that fell apart, it's like, have you been able to like adequately reflect on those things in your own life or be able to pull out the nuance in that, you know, like to speak to the emotional hurdles or whatever, you know what I mean? That you might experience. And so, I think the self-awareness really surprised me, and challenged me and made me want to, you know, step up to the plate. But I enjoyed like that first season of just being kind of like a fly on the wall sometimes and hearing the way 10 different people think and like process, you know, one thing. Like, you know, if we're talking about like season one, the idea of like Jared and is he gay? Because because he had this experience and like
You know,
should he take Molly back when she pops up at his door? Like, you're gonna get 10 different opinions about that, and like, and you'd be surprised like how far we go in like talking about, you know, which way to go with some of these stories and some of these characters.
What a beautiful, beautiful creation it sounds like. I know it can be intimidating and there are probably other things that are happening outside of it, but at its essence, that sounds very pure to me and it sounds beautiful. It sounds so beautiful.
It is actually really beautiful. And what's funny is I was going through like some of my old like photos because I was trying to explain a writer's room to one of my friends yesterday, like who has no idea, knows nothing about the industry. And I went back in my phone and I found like a video of us having a Nerf battle. And I was like, sometimes if things were tense and we're struggling to break a story, like we had one of our co-EPs like pulled out Nerf guns and just started like aiming at people. Let's go. And now we're all like, we're having fun and we're laughing. Like we did puzzles together and like, you know, we have all these different little, cause we spend so much time together having to open, you have to pour yourself out to, I think, to do well. And so it has to be a comfortable space. It has to be a safe space. There are spaces that are not like that, but Insecure was. And I think that I realized that this, it could be beautiful. It could be fun.
Yeah.
And so, and I carried that into how I put together the Rap Shit Writers Room.
You said you started off a little insecure because you were, no pun intended, because you were an assistant on Insecure. But do you think the more comfortable you got with yourself, your relationships that you've had, your interpersonal relationships, did that make you more confident as a writer to speak up and share? Or was it affirmation from the room that made you feel more safe? I want to know what you felt helped you transition while there so you could ultimately be a writer on the show?
I think it was, initially it was affirmation. I think the like self-confidence hasn't come until I've now have done it myself. But I think just coming from Insecure and as an assistant, there were so many writers on the show who were affirming and laughed at my jokes when I said something. I'd be like, aching, you know what I mean? Able, but it's like, hey, I have a thought. And I think, you know, recognize something in me and encourage me. You know, I can pinpoint very specific writers who were like, oh, you got this. Like, and even Regina Hicks, who hired me and actually staffed me for the first time. And yeah, there were a lot of people who believed in me. And so that just, and I was like, oh, I think I am really good at this.
Yeah.
But the confidence, I think, is more of a recent thing, really.
Okay, you know what we have to do? We have to pay some bills, but fast forward, or just listen to the commercials. I appreciate y'all. We'll be right back with Sarita in just a few moments. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion. Hey girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion.
Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
Hey y'all, I have the writer, the showrunner, the all-around talented black gal that I love so much, Sarita Singleton, is on Naked. So wait a second. So you have this show, Rap Shit, and you're the showrunner. You're the one in the room throwing out ideas. You're the one talking to the writers saying we should be doing this, that, and a third. This is part of Issa Rae's production company, I believe, as well, right? This Rap Shit?
Mm-hmm.
And you now can see the distance. But even as you got the job as showrunner, knowing that this was going to be your role and what that would require, you were not confident? Was it after season one? Was it the start of season two? Which is just like yesterday. I'm like, just yesterday?
It was after season one. Wow. But during season one, I was like, oh, shit. Like, just consistently, like, oh, shit, you know? Like, I was determined. Like, I know I can. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I know I can write. But it's another thing to say, can I lead?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, like, do I trust my vision, my decision making? You know, do I trust that I've put the right people around me to support me? Like, you know what I mean? There's so much that goes into putting a whole TV show, you know, and there's so many people, there's so many decisions to make. And I think like trusting your decision making is, it's everything. And it's
everything in life.
In life. I think like this role has completely changed my life and like changed the way, the way I see myself, the way I understand myself, the way I understand my purpose, you know, and grown me in incredible ways. Like, yeah. And I think, you know, after, so season one, I did it scared, you know, I did it scared.
That's my favorite saying, do it scared. That's my favorite saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I saw, and even like when season one was airing and it's just like, how are people going to respond to the show? You don't know. And I remember reaching out to Issa and saying, how do people do this? Like, how can you put something out into the world and then just hear people talk about it? And like, how do you like this?
It's hard.
And not knowing if we were going to get a season two or not. I'm like, the anxiety, like, how do you live like this? This is not like,
this is not what it's meant to be. Yeah. But you guys listening, you have to realize Sarita, this premiered last year. So she's watching it in real time and describing what she felt, which was not that long ago. And it, to me, sometimes confidence comes with repetition of consistently being great, consistently showing up, consistently making the decisions that other people probably wouldn't want to make, but you know, you have a feeling that it's good. And I thought the show was amazing. And I thought it was interesting to me that it had a heavy social media emphasis, which made me in the beginning say, wait, can I really get into this? Because I'm not like a social media, but it made sense to me and it made me want. And I'm like, oh, is that how they do it? It's also for people who don't live their lives on social media. It's also very like, in a way, like this is true. This is what people do. This is what they live for. And my friend is a manager and he manages a few acts. And he said the reason why he liked Rap Shit was because this is what he feels it's like. Like, I'm listening to music and somebody's always in his DMs or sending him something. And I thought that was really interesting. Like, so it's true. Is one of your writers, I read, used to be a tour manager? Is that how you're able to infuse that authenticity? Am I incorrect in saying that?
Yes, he was he managed a couple acts and he was also a tour manager as well. He's done both roles.
Wow.
And for a long time, and has so many stories, and is now a writer, left the music industry, and came over to this side, because the music industry is tough, and I felt like that was something I keep learning, like, dang, this is a rough space to get into, it's hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where a lot of the stories come from, but also, we have a couple people in the room who've also been on tour, who've been the talent on tour, Yeah, very talented group of folks. And
I love it. I feel like you can make some side hustle money, not that you need it, but we should be able to tour a writer's room. Like, y'all need to be at work and be on display, and we need to be able to listen in, almost like, you know, like they do the cops and the bad guy in the movie, and the other cops, the detectives can listen to the investigation, if you will. I need that. Y'all should do that.
It would amazing. Be like Office, but like,
yes,
you get to see a mix between, I guess, The Office and like Project Greenlight or something.
Yes, and I want to see how it's made, and I want to get to know the folks. I would love that. FYI, you go on keep that girl, because I'm gonna watch that too. for rap shit. Can I ask you what the idea is outside of two best friends trying to make it? What are you hoping to portray for the culture, for us, for women?
I think the biggest thing for me is like, I want to see women making it, like you said, but like feeling empowered while doing it, finding themselves, making mistakes. I think it's just hoping to kind of like pull back the curtain, humanize women in this experience, I think, in a way. There's also, I get a lot of like comments about the type of characters that are on the show. Like, they're pimps and sex workers. And Mia, when she first started, you know, she's a former stripper, OnlyFans. And I think those stories also matter. Those are also like people who have hopes and dreams and families that they love and like things that they're striving for. I love getting to like tell stories about them as well, because I feel like they get discarded and, you know, I don't know. I love that the show comes from kind of two different POVs when it comes to like, what does it mean to be a woman, you know, and how you show up. And I think like with Shauna and Mia, they're so different, but they're also like both kind of coming of age at the same time and influencing one another. Figuring out what they want for themselves. Like, I want people to feel inspired by seeing that, and also be less hard on themselves. Like, you know, we're all just kind of figuring it out as we go. So, and then I also just want people to just enjoy themselves and feel like they are seeing a slice of the culture and that it feels authentic. Like, I'm so passionate about making stories for us that we really resonate with. And that's not to like too far on the one spectrum of trauma or too far on the spectrum. You know what I mean? It's like, it has to be so perfect. It's, you know, that's not like, you know what I mean? It's like real life. So I hope that answers the question.
No, it did. You said something that I think is profound. We forget that sometimes people are based on what they have done before in their lives or who they have become, they get ostracized, whether it's like somebody who's trans, someone who used to be a stripper, someone who is gay, who knows? And there's a place, and it should be normalized, and their dreams should be realized as well. Like, to me, I think that's also very powerful, because we can forget in this day and age quickly.
Yeah.
I again am encouraging you guys to watch Rap Shit. It is streaming on Max right now, MAX. Season 2 just came out. So you could do a whole binge over the holiday weekend. You could eat your little turkey, your dressing, you could do all the stuff. And then we got the Christmas. It goes well with mac and cheese. We're going to be eating that for 2 weeks. And then we also got Christmas coming up. If you didn't catch it all, you can just go back and binge Christmas 2. I think season 2 will be done by Christmas. We get it all in. One and two.
Yeah. Mac and cheese, it goes well with gumbo.
Yeah. Cajun fried turkey. I also know that. Yep. And some cranberry. You like cranberry?
I haven't had it. Like,
you got to have a scoop of cranberry. I'm not even saying it right, because I'm so black. Cranberry, not juice, but, you know, just the cranberry sauce, I guess. You have to have a scoop of it with dressing. It changes your life.
Okay.
You just can't have it by itself. You do it with the dressing.
So I was scarred, because I think as a kid, I thought it was Jell-O. I thought there was Jell-O.
It does look like Jell-O. Yeah, correct. It looks like Jell-O. So I said, I don't know if you call it as... But just take a little bit of that Jell-O and put it with the dressing. Just take a little. It's not bad. It's not bad. Okay. Who are you cooking?
Yes, I am. I am.
Wait, everything?
I'm making the mac and cheese and I'm making the grains.
Oh, well, you're making the stars. Those are the stars of the dinner. Mac and cheese is Beyonce. Like, it's the star. So that's a big deal. It's like, what goes with the mac and cheese? If the mac and cheese is bad, you've seen all these videos where parents cuss out their kids when they start playing with mac and cheese and putting in different things. Like, we take it seriously.
No, it's a very serious dish. I've had some years. My mom decided at some point that she wasn't going to cook everything anymore. And she was like, y'all need to help. And she was like, Sarita, you're going to do the mac and cheese. My sister was doing the greens, but
I told you it's too much. Those two dishes are pressure. Go on.
I don't know who it is. And then my niece goes crazy on those yams. So we've split it up and we do the fried turkey.
Is everybody in the family going to just binge this weekend, wrap shit? Are you going to do it around, everybody going to just do it around the house? We're going to just be on, right? It better just be on.
Yes, it needs to just be on, especially because we have an episode coming out on Thanksgiving.
It just needs to be on. Okay, good. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm watching. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Connected with.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would be wrong if I didn't talk to you about this. I hear a little birdie told me that you are working on something near and dear to my heart. That would make me even nervous if somebody told me that I had to remake or rewrite a version of this ghetto classic, of this hood classic, where our girl Queen Latifah was robbed of her Oscar. She wasn't even nominated, but she was robbed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Set It Off. You are currently, as we speak, in between making mac and cheese, you're rewriting Set It Off. Tell me about this project.
Ooh, yes, Set It Off. It's and everything that you just said is everything that I feel. but no, I feel very excited about it. It's we have like a couple characters from the original that we would like to carry over into this one. So it's more so like it's the same world 20 something years later, you know, and let's see. It's something that it's a movie that I also love and hold in high regard. It is a classic. And so I'm writing it along with Nina Gloucester, who's also a writer on Rap Shit. And we're having fun with it. I'm really excited. I'm excited for people to see it because I think we've done something really dope with the story. Like writing about Black women in friendship is like my number one thing. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
And that's to do with these women in this new, you know, story where women is to Set It Off again. That's not the title, but you know what I mean? I think it's going to be the things that you loved, but it's also going to be really fun and contemporary.
Okay. I'm locked in. You already know, I don't want to put no pressure on you.
Yeah.
That movie is everything. Yep. It is everything. It's everything. We don't even do movies like that no more. So I'm glad you're doing it. Bring it back. Make it better. Part the 2.0 version. Yes, I'm with it.
It's like there's literally not a day that goes by. It's just like, we will not like this is for the culture. Like we are very much aware of that. Like, but I think the thing about, which I think makes myself and Nina perfect for this project is our dedication, like our understanding of the culture, but our dedication to it. Like,
yeah,
we're very passionate about this story. It's going to be good.
I'm not worried. I'm ready. I'm not worried. I'm ready. I'm ready to watch it. Because you already got a lot of pressure on you. You are a showrunner, season two, season three coming. We put it in the universe. And then you're making mac and cheese. There's all this, the world you're living, you take on the weight of the world. And I'm glad. I can't do it. I show up with wine. I'm like, hey, guys, here's some wine and flowers. This is light lifting.
Look, man, yeah, no, you for real. I do be taking on a lot.
I'm all like, go ahead, you like it, bring on the pressure. I like it.
It's very Capricorn.
Yes, you're giving me that. You're good because you guys don't play. You guys are hard workers. You're giving me Capricorn energy. I love it. Sarita Singleton, thank you so much. Congratulations, sis. This is, as you well know, just the beginning. I am so excited for your future, and there's so much more you have in store for us. That means the more inspired you are, the more blessed we can be as well by your work. Looking forward to not only watching Rap Shit, you guys, right now, binge it, seasons one and two. Also, we got Set It Off coming in the future. That gives me hope. That gives me hope.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So amazing. I appreciate you.
I really enjoyed Sarita on the podcast. I'm going to let you guys hear some of our outtakes of girls living in L.A., growing up in L.A. Had nothing to do with anything, but we were talking about how when we grew up in L.A., we like to ditch random. We just like to ditch school, random story. But I am excited about her show. I think that much like in my world of sports, I watch coaches build coaches' trees, such as like a Bill Belichick, who has a bunch of offensive coordinators who later became coaches. And the same is true for like a Nick Saban, who's like the, you know, arguably the best college football coach there ever was. And he has coaches who go on to become big deals. And so I liken Sarita and her relationship with Issa to that. Like Issa Rae was always creative and smart and had all these wonderful ideas. And she had been doing really well with her YouTube series. And she was out looking for other creatives. Like her, it looks as if that's what she wanted. And now we sit here and we see Sarita working on her own show, Rap Shit Showrunner, and also rewriting a cult classic and Set It Off. I mean, there are so many wonderful, I see trees and branches growing and extending from Issa. Because the reality is that we need that. We need that for the culture. We need that for the world. But to see that it exists in a way that's pure. Hey, I met you once. I think you're a great writer. I'm going to put you on. That's what we want. And it's not about just putting that person on. That person has to be good, right? You have to, as she said, you got to believe in yourself. And she's finding her confidence a year after she's already been the showrunner of her own TV show. I mean, all of that is fascinating and true and honest. But she showed up every day. That's the bravest thing that you can do. You can show up every single day for yourself and your dreams. I believe that. Housekeeping notes. This is airing after Thanksgiving. So still watch the show. And you can then also add us and tell us what you ate for Thanksgiving. I'm going to leave you guys with a little outtake of two little girls that grew up in LA who liked to ditch school for no reason. We both got caught. Plot. Sorry. Have a good day. I'll talk to y'all next week. Oh, okay. So where'd you grow up?
Girl, South LA, all over South LA. Like, from between Jefferson and Western, mm-hmm, to like Normandy and Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom bought a house like in the, like, near the mm-hmm swap meet. So the swap meet.
We was at the swap meet all the time. So you was always, yeah, fresh to death then. You had everything.
You know. I did. Somehow I was able to finesse.
The swap meet was a rite of passage where I'd be like, Mom, I know we live in Pasadena, but I have to go to the swap meet. I have to get all the things that I need.
Yeah. I ditched school. I didn't have nowhere to go. I went to the swap meet.
Why'd you ditch it? Because I ditched too, and I didn't have nowhere to go. Why do we ditch with nowhere to go? I got caught though. Where were you? Were you like, oh, let me just see what to do? Were you with friends, hanging out with a boy, whatever it could be?
Yeah, very first time, I was just like, what were we doing? I was like, I don't feel like it today. That's what it was. I don't really feel like it today. I don't feel like going to class and showing up and doing all the things. Like, I don't have the energy. And then I think a friend of mine was like, yeah, me neither. And it was kind of gloomy that day too.
So you were just
like, let's see. Like, are we really doing this? And then the excitement, like, kind of keeps pushing you forward with no plan at all.
None. Just walking up and down Slauson at the swap meet, looking at stuff. That's okay. Look, that's fine. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
I got caught. And that was, whoo.
Your mom was mad. You got a spanking. Did you get like caught? Like, oh, your dad.
I didn't get a spanking, but his disappointment was like.
Enough.
It was more than enough. You know, like I got on the bus and I took myself right back to school because he called and left a voicemail. And my dad's very like, Sarita.
Oh, no.
School has called me. They're saying you're not at the school. And I was just like, hurry up and get back to school.
Wait, I love how, like, we don't even think how ridiculous we are. You're like, you know what? I had to miss the first two classes. I'm just going back. Like, they, he know him or whatever. How many, and you just show up. You're like, hey, I'm here. Like, no big deal.
Yeah. I thought I was going to be able to lie and say like, oh, I was on campus doing this. And he was just like, no, they said they looked for you. They said they looked in the bathrooms.
Why were they so diligent? I thought teachers didn't care. What is that about? That's so unfair.
Well, one teacher, she got a kick out of it. I know she did. Cause then I found out, and we can stop talking about this whenever you want.
Okay. I was just warming up. I was like, I'm here for all of this. Thank you. This is all a part. This is our outro of what happens when you, here's the PSA. Go to school. A to do. Just go to school. A to do.
Daughter, but also right. At the same time as a kid, sometimes you need a break.
I agree. Right? I agree. I used to turn on the burners and put my head right to the forehead, right at the burner. And they say, tell my mom, oh, it's hot. Don't you feel hot? I should stay home. So I totally, yeah, I get it. Don't listen to me though. Or actually listen to us because you can be, I'm telling the listeners, you can be successful if you ditch school. So it's fine. So let your kids know it's fine. It's not a big deal.
Hey everybody. Welcome to Across Generations where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtime's a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.